Yeah.
So,
yep.
So anyhow, yeah.
Fucking live dangerous.
So we went to, this is actually exactly where we were in the story that I was telling you earlier about taking a kid off to college. When they came back, I took my kid to a restaurant somebody had recommended, a friend of mine, Angie, recommended, called Smithfield's. And, well, I didn't actually go to the Smithfield's.
Was this that pulled pork and brisket place?
Oh, it was that place. Okay. But I looked up, that's actually their barbecue catering menu.
Oh. Okay.
They have a very different menu in store. Okay. But they also have a place across the street called Smithfield's Pub and Pies.
Okay.
And it's a very, very British pub. I mean, basically, the chef at Smithfield's always wanted to own one of those British pubs, and this is his version of it in Ashland. And it's very British pub-like.
Okay.
And I got a black and tan and a meat pie that was divine.
Well, yeah, they've got scotch eggs, they've got bangers and mash, they've got...
Mm. No bangers and mash, but they had scotch eggs, totally.
How did they not have bangers and mash?
Well, okay, so it's a very, very tiny place. It has always been a pub in Ashland. There's lots of little, teeny, tiny holes in there.
Sausage and potatoes.
I understand.
That's bangers and mash.
Let me finish. No, everything is cooked in a microwave / convection oven. It's pre-cooked or prepared across the street, and they bring it over every morning, all the prepped food.
Okay.
So they use the prep kitchen across the street. So they have a very small cooking facility there. But good French fries, amazing tartar sauce. And I made tartar sauce for years working at the fish market. So, what, nothing to say?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know how you can have a British pub in Ashland. Nobody works there.
Oh, actually, the waitress, smoking.
Well,
we're driving around looking for a place to park.
Yeah.
No, she was probably not a college kid. She might have been a local or somebody who lived there as an artisan and was waiting tables. Just like I've waited tables a lot in my life because artisan. But anyhow, we were driving around and I saw her on the street smoking a cigarette. We made a loop around the block. I was like, fuck yeah, we're going to see pretty cigarette smoking girl again. We did. And we parked finally and we went inside and lo and behold, there's pretty cigarette smoking girl. And, oh, adorable. Black short skirt, nice clean black top, 90s big 90s silver hoop earrings, black hair, ivory skin, red. Oh, it was just, yeah. She was beautiful. And an excellent waitress.
So she was a waitress because there wasn't a strip club?
No, she was a waitress because she had some fucking dignity and wasn't insane and didn't want to go insane.
Ooh. Ooh.
Wow.
Whoa, I guess Mr. Judgy is back from his trip.
all right, so the other thing I learned is you guys have been outside, right?
Yeah.
This entire fucking state is on fire.
Yeah, did you just learn that today?
Well, I've known this because I've watched the onset. Like, I don't know, folks, if you live in Oregon, great. If you don't, you don't know. But, like, you look outside, and it's, like, really crappy white man fire at a campfire out there right now.
It smells everywhere. Like everybody has their fireplaces going right now in the middle of summer.
And they're not burning well. They're just smoking. And there were places on the road between here and Ashland where you could not see 2 football fields.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, that's like my house.
Yeah, they had
amazing. Your house is out like that?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know the hills on either side of my house?
Yeah.
Gone.
Oh, so it just...
Gone. You can't see them.
Yeah, they had evacuation over
there. There was a missing mountain in Ashland. The whole mountain disappeared.
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
It's crazy. Are they okay upriver?
I don't think so.
We have friends upriver. I know they put out an evacuation warning for those people.
I think that they might be part of that.
They are. It's that area.
Yeah.
So,
50 miles down the road from me.
Great.
If you folks want to see something crazy, go hit the internet this week and look at how many fires are going on in Oregon. It's incredible.
Yeah, but of course, like, no report on the national news, but, like, there was a fire in Los Angeles, and they had to evacuate, like, 34 people.
It was an impressive-looking fire. It was an impressive-looking fire, but compared to the whole state...
Compared to what we got...
Yeah, the whole state is on fire, and...
Yeah, our buddy's still not home.
Well, yeah, that's what he does for a living. He's been out for the last 2.5-3 months.
Yeah.
From going from fire to fire to fire. And half the shit on the roads is fire equipment. I actually drove up behind this really cool truck, right? And it's bright red. And they've got an antique fire putter outer, fire engine thing. It's like a trailer. I don't know what to call it.
Well,
it's not a fire engine, but it's like a fire tanker or something like that on a trailer. But it's totally like 50s, adorable. And then I pass it, and right in front of it is a really big, modern fire gel suppressant manufacturer. Like, apparently you mix the stuff. That it was like a giant cement mixer for fire repellent
gels. Wait, so it's like a whole truck that's like spray can foam?
Yeah, kind of. And it apparently mixed right on board. It had like a steering wheel for lifting up and levers for mixing and changing. And it was a device I've never seen before, but it's crazy out there right now. Well, and so, yes, you can also hear the fan in the background, but that's because it's way more smoky than normal in here.
Well, I was telling
and
you...
And 100 degrees.
The first responder for... my oldest is kind of staying with me right now. And... We were out
non-genetic oldest, but yes.
My non-genetic oldest is staying with me right now.
Who aren't living
with her son. So we're at the laundromat the other, a couple of days ago, and he takes a header outside and splits open his. He's 18 months old, and he splits open his head a little bit. And the first responder there actually happened to be wildlife firefighters.
Yeah.
Who was an EMT, and they happened to be doing their laundry there. There was like five of them there, and they had. A lot of laundry to do.
People are taking boats to Texas, and they're bringing fire suppression equipment to Oregon right now. It's insane.
When did first responders first come into common parlance?
This is another one of those I can't believe you know it, but I'll bite. I have no idea.
Jimmy Carter.
Really?
Used it in a speech, yep.
Huh.
Nobody'd really heard of it before.
I'll be good goddamned.
There you go.
Hey, this is a nice segment.
I will say very well done, because really, ladies and gentlemen, we are ruined heroes.
That was not set up.
We are a weekly self-produced podcast.
It's entirely improv.
You still don't even know what the topic is.
You don't?
We are
implying it.
Weekly self-produced podcast. Come on, damn it, the stuff.
Yeah, the stuff.
So bitch about it if you want, but we're paying for it, not you. We're in the three of us discuss a topic of societal renown, irreverently while drinking. While drinking, irreverently. I, Tyler, study like a guy learning how to hide a nuke.
I kind of figured out what Google is.
That's John. And Rupert.
I brought pickled eggs, and nobody likes pickled eggs because it's
like
not
I
real.
I don't like hard-boiled eggs.
Not real men. Me, the gay one, is the only one bringing any real men.
You can have your way. You can obviously find us wherever you listen to your podcasts as Ruined Heroes. If you're doing this through Apple Podcasts or any other server, please subscribe, rate, and review. To contact us, we are ruinedheroespod@gmail.com and on Facebook and on Twitter, Ruined Heroes Pod.
We'd love to hear from you.
We do, yeah. Even when you bitch at us, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because, like...
You might get mentioned, though, if you...
We will probably mention you.
Yeah. We don't have enough reviews yet that you're not going to get mentioned, but you're probably going to get extra special attention if you say something nasty.
Or if you took a picture of you and all your loved ones and any first responders you know sitting around the campfire just listening to us.
With shotguns.
If you've got guns to throw on top of that, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, just a bunch of people sitting around with guns listening to this.
Quick way to fame.
Yeah.
So,
that's always good.
God, we just sound
basically, we do respond.
We're like alt podcast.
Jesus. We are. Well, it's our hobby. We don't do this to make money in any way.
Alt casting.
Alt casting, yes.
Alt casting.
We do respond to all reasonable communication.
Even some that aren't so reasonable.
Yeah, sometimes.
It depends on how much we've been drinking.
Totally afraid to not afraid to shut you down and block you. But so Hintros, I got one.
Okay.
There's a quote.
Have you looked at his T-shirt, by the way?
Yeah.
And that Jimmy Carter reference, that was awesome too.
Yeah, I know. This is good. Guns are neat little things,
aren't
they?
Back-padded.
They can kill extraordinary people with very little effort.
Remington?
Nope.
That guy on the Equalizer TV show?
Here's a quote in response to the same situation. Honey, I forgot to duck. That was said in the hospital after being shot in the chest. 1987 quote from the same person, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
When you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat.
Well... I guess it's Rambo.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie Reagan, ladies and gentlemen. That first quote was by John Hinckley Jr. And that Facebook hint, which was also the first one on Twitter, was a picture of John Hinckley Jr. because he has been released, and he is living with his mother.
He was released a while ago, wasn't he?
16.
Yeah.
A year ago. Yeah. Roughly, yeah. So, yeah, the guy who shot, and listen, to be clear, just a little bit of spoiler, he didn't technically shoot Ronald Reagan. He shot the door of the limousine, and it ricocheted into Ronald Reagan. But
he did a bank shot.
Yeah, like, all right, so points for bank shot.
He was playing billiards.
So
he did not look like a guy who had a lot of range time in him.
Okay, well, no, actually, he had gotten fascinated with guns. He'd had guns confiscated from a couple of times already.
And, that shouldn't have been
a hit. And what's crazy is he used a kind of obscure gun called a Roan RG-14. It's a 22 long rifle handgun, wheel gun, 6-shot.
Roan? I thought they made ammo.
R-O-H-N, Roan.
I think I've seen ammo.
You can pick one up for about 100 and a quarter. On a lot of, like, you know,
and you, gun broker and this shit. Is why
this
you,
is the level of research we're using, folks.
Okay, this is the kind of thing that so makes Tyler scary at the end of the week, because he has gotten into this so much that he probably now wants one of these handguns.
I totally am looking for one at the next gun show.
Okay.
Because yeah. I gotta get on. I'm kind of
Saturday Night Special.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's a very small pocket Saturday Night Special, and Rupert is a fan of historic, or especially movie historic guns.
Movie guns.
And once you get
the,
past
the bigger the better, the scarier the better.
Required handful of guns, and everybody has their own list. But once you get past that, then it turns to hobbyist shit.
Yeah, it turns to fun.
And this is pretty fucking hilarious.
And bad,
I don't have a .22 revolver. It sounds great, right?
Bad movie gun full. Is my special
yes
now.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
When somebody pulls a Glock and you hear a hammer click back sound, bad movie.
The other one is the rifle with the shotgun noise.
Yeah.
A double barrel when you hear it, we hear the rack around.
Yeah, yeah. The pump action rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another one.
Which they do exist.
Yeah.
I fired a couple of them.
Do you own one?
No, I don't.
The Mossberg?
Your no, Mossberg? Mossberg is significantly larger than 22. Oh, my Field and Field and Stream one. That one made by Mossberg, which is a Field and Stream by Monkey Ward's on the outside. But no, that's bolt action too.
Okay.
So Ronald Reagan, born February 6th, 1911, to Neil and John Reagan in Tampico, Illinois. His Irish father was supposedly a salesman and storyteller. Eventually, his family settled in Dixon, Illinois, and his dad opened a shoe store. In college, Eureka College, he studied economics and sociology, was on the football team, and was in lots of plays and a bunch of other activities. So he was very, very socially active at that point in time. After college, he became a sportscaster for radio stations WOC-AM. Now what the fuck? Woman of Color AM? Is it just me? And WHO-AM, as in who am?
Womb.
Who am I? Womb.
Womb.
I don't really... Yeah. Anyhow, that was 1932 to 37 that he was who AM. Because I'm going to call it Women of Color because I'm not going to bring it up again. Women of Color AM had merged with Who AM, and this gave Reagan national exposure. They called him Dutch then on the radio, which is a nickname that was given to him by his dad. So, what you got? It's just
I
back
knew he was called Dutch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What are some of his other nicknames?
Everybody knows that. The Gipper.
Take one for the Gipper.
Yeah.
Yep. Much of his early political involvement was brought on through first being the president of Screen Actors Guild, also known as SAG, to those in Hollywood.
I think that's where he got fed up with the Democratic Party.
That is ultimately where he gets fed up with the Democratic Party and turns sides.
Yeah.
Because he was a very staunch Democrat up until that point in time.
Wait, so when was that? What year?
We're roughly 37-ish. And he started doing some work with
the... He was born in 1911.
Yeah.
37, like...
He was doing some radio and speaking tours that were sponsored by General Electric in 1937,
I'm trying to think, like, Hollywood in 1937 would seem like Joe McCarthy now. Like,
yeah.
I mean, how liberal could they have been back in 37?
Oh, they were kind of crazy liberal at that point in time, but I mean...
Well, actually, that's true.
By comparison.
No, the progressive movement was really taking off then. Because, we passed Woodrow Wilson and sort of pre-Roosevelt and seemed like on a roll of progressivism. So, yeah, okay, I can see.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Yeah.
Better not cover up the buses.
Well, here's one quote that I really like. Government exists to protect us from each other. Where government has gone beyond its limits is in deciding to protect us from ourselves.
That's a good one.
That's where he... this is where he kind of just made that realization where it's like, you know, how much is too much of a good thing? Now...
There's a very related one that I have on a T-shirt that you've seen, which is the big government is not the solution to the problem. Big government is the problem.
Yeah, and that's...
Well, I don't think you...
Which was, as we said, he started out very Democratic, and he was switching sides.
In a State of the Union speech.
Yeah. If I remember correctly,
I bought it
from a very politically active website.
Right, but unless you were watching that speech at the time, you don't really have a concept of how big a deal that was for him to say that back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that was, I think that might, I don't know, it might have been his first or second State of the Union. But it was a huge deal when he said that, because the concept of government actually remaining static in size or growing smaller was unheard of. Back then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, still unheard of today. It doesn't happen.
Right.
But,
well, that's because half of our population decides that they want government to be able to bail them out or provide for them, you know.
We're really edging into some political shit, and I knew it was going to be touchy with this one.
But there's going to be there's the whole concept of we're too big to fail, and all of a sudden we do fail, and now government's bailing out. And there were an awful lot of conservatives and Republicans that were on that bandwagon saying, oh, no, we're just going to ride this out and just everything's going to be hunky-dory. And then everything wasn't hunky-dory.
Yeah.
But then
it's the nature of the two-party system and the fact that our two-party system is really a one-party system and just...
It's them against us.
Kind of, quite frankly.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Reagan comes in with this government is the problem thing, implying and explicitly stating at times that he wanted to shrink the scope of government.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that Republicans have been extremely consistent on as being no better at shrinking the size of government than Democrats. They just aren't. They don't make the government any smaller than Democrats do.
They just reallocate it.
Not even that. Like Reagan comes in and you're like, well, what big segment of government disappeared from our lives when Reagan... Nothing. It was all still there.
You've got a little bit...
We had a functioning Air Force after he left, but that was about it. You know, nothing was caught.
At this point in time, Tyler and I were like just... You know, at the very end of his term, we were...
Yeah, I actually had to research at the end of his term was...
89.
Was he? Okay, yeah. So...
His last year there was 89.
No.
He went 81 through 89.
No.
81 through 89.
I don't think so.
81 through 89.
The election was in 88, so, yeah,
okay.
January 20th, 89, he was
okay.
Gone.
So I was still too young to vote.
Yeah.
I think that
we
was...
We still too young to vote, but we could see the impact.
I think
that
was
one
of the first mock
the impact.
Elections I did in
Whereas,
school.
Well,
you know, Rupert, I mean...
And I voted Mondale, by the way, for that.
No.
Oh, my God. Really?
I was in, like, sixth grade. I didn't fucking know any better.
Wow. You were a sophomore.
Mm.
In 88? Mm. Or, no. In 84. 84.
Yeah. 84. I was
we
like
were 11,
in,
yeah.
Yeah, I was, like, in yeah. sixth grade, man. I figured that shit out. I didn't even remember what year it was, but I figured how old I was the last time that there was a Reagan election. Or a... Well... Anyhow, yeah. So
I am actually living history to you two tots.
Yeah. in this regard, very much so.
10 years because of it, yeah. I mean, like, you were able to vote at that point in time.
You were
fuck
able to
yeah.
vote.
That, that was actually the first election.
You saw Steve Bader's live?
Reagan's first election was the first time I was eligible legally, if you want to get technical, to vote. Yeah, that was the first election. I remember that election clear
as day. I'm curious about this
day.
Legally, technically part that you had to throw
in. Oh, you know, I was in New York. Yeah.
What, like you just go in with a fake ID and voted? Are you seriously that kid from the Breakfast Club? Like, why do you have a fake ID?
So I can vote?
You realize it says you're 63. Yeah, I kind of buggered it up on that part. Like, seriously? You're that guy?
I don't know. Have you ever voted in person? Are you aware?
Once.
Yeah.
Once.
Oh, okay, well,
and
I don't know if you ever...
An early election in my life when I was living in Denver where you had to go in and vote in person.
I don't know if you've
ever
seen
I did it once
the people who man the polling places. The people who man the polling places
are volunteers for the most part.
They're volunteers.
They give no fucks.
They give no fucks, and they tend to be about 95.
And the only interest they have is getting you through the line.
Right. So just go vote. Your voice matters.
Yeah. At 17, you have no clue what you're doing. Anyhow.
But here, that was kind of my point, is that we begin to understand what the ramifications of it are at this point. We don't understand.
Yeah, I did not have a global understanding at that point in my life.
Not at all. But now we're starting to get an inkling as to, like...
I had just recently learned that my hand was the same distance, or my arm was the same length as it took
God
to reach
made
my
it
penis.
That way. God made us that way so that we could always be happy, okay?
Yeah, that's what I was figuring out.
We could always masturbate, no matter what. It's always right there.
It's right...
There.
Yeah, it's the right length.
Yes. That. The people say that beer is why God loves us. That's the proof.
No, beer is why the conversation goes downhill like this.
That's Jaeger.
I mean, can we let's get back on track here.
So, 1937, he won a...
you of all people.
Yeah, I'm the whole cracker.
A 1937 screen test that won him a Warner Brothers contract, and that is where his acting really started. When World War II broke out, he tried to join up, but was denied duty because of his poor eyesight, so he wasn't allowed to be in active duty, but they let him join up. He was assigned to the 1st Motion Picture Unit of the Army Corps. He spent his tour making training films and left as a captain. Recognition of the Japanese Zero Fighter was a particularly good one. They're kind of fun. I went down a rabbit hole. I watched like 5 of them. But I started with, and I wrote that one. But Recognition of a Japanese Zero Fighter is a pretty fun video, I gotta say. It's totally on YouTube, and it's Ronald Reagan, and it's him as the young buck pilot coming into the Air Force, gonna fly the plane, and the old grizzled sergeant going, "Oh, your son, do you know how to tell a Zero Fighter from an American plane?" And they do that. The wings bow this way. The canopy is shaped like this. The tail is curved on this plane and not on this one. And because that's what they had then.
But see, that was, like, when I was growing up, that stuff was a big deal.
Yeah.
Not because I grew up when we were still fighting World War II, but because in that period, like, basically 60 to 70, some of the biggest comic books were things like Sergeant Rock and stuff like that. And so World War II was still going on in the comic books.
Well, right. Captain America kicked the shit out of Hitler so many times.
Plus, like, all your good war movies and stuff, they were current still in the 60s. Plus, all that World War II surplus stuff now was out on the market. So, like, I knew kids who had the flashcards for the planes.
Nice.
So, you know, when I was going to school, that was, like, one of the coolest things to have, was, like, the flashcard set for Japanese fighters.
Fighter planes. So you could be silhouettes. All right, is this Japanese? Is this American?
Yeah.
Is this, you know, is this Allied forces or not?
Silhouettes of all the planes, and we'd be like, why? Why do you have to recognize them so quickly? And it was like, so you can shoot them down before they kill you. Oh, my God!
Yeah.
I better memorize
that's
these!
That's how it worked.
And you're fuck spelling!
Like, I got a Lincoln!
Yeah.
But still!
Yeah, all that stuff was a really big deal.
So, yeah, there's some very curious educational videos for the World War II military, and Reagan starred in a lot of them. And I thought they were fun to watch. Like I said, I went down a rabbit hole, watched like 5 of those fucking things. It was fun. Did you find one?
I went to his IMDb, and
it's insane.
Yeah,
his IMDb is insane. That is, most of my sources were IMDb, biography.com, and whitehouse.gov. So fuck you if you think my sources are bad. Whitehouse.gov. That's as official as you get. Maybe not as correct as you get.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I totally checked Reddit too, so don't worry.
Truthfulness. Yeah, nothing about UFOs on.
I went both sides of the spectrum.
Totally don't acknowledge.
So his first marriage was in 1940 to Jane Wyman. They had 2 kids, Maureen and Michael, who they adopted Michael. The marriage lasted 9 years. Mm-hmm. Also in 1940, he starred in Newt Rockne, a biopic about George Gipp, a Notre Dame football star. One of the weird things I found is that, although this is one of his better-known roles in movies, he was eventually gifted, when he was president, I believe, Gipp's Letterman sweater by Notre Dame. Like, they had it in their trophy cabinet, and they gifted it to Reagan. Long, long, long after the film. Which I think that's a pretty cool thing, and it was a neat little piece of trivia to run across.
That's cool. What else? Keep going. Keep going.
John's got this look on his face.
John's going through his groceries here and stuff.
My groceries? No, I just pulling out a bottle of water.
Yeah, well,
okay? Because I've drank a lot of Jaeger.
Sorry for the pause. We had to observe John pulling out a bottle of water.
Hydrate, folks. It's very important.
Goddamn right.
Okay, keep going. Keep going.
What we found here was, at least the way that I take it, after the research that I've done here, the minimal amount, obviously, is that...
We had a final decision.
We're kind of in the same situation we are now, where they're like, okay, bring in somebody different, bring in somebody different, and that's what they did here. Is yeah. Somebody different came in?
What?
But he.
Well, they weren't real happy with
him. He wasn't a politician. He was a character. But he had some kind of moral grounding.
He'd been politically active for a lot of years.
He was governor of California.
Yeah. No. But I'm. He was an odd choice, is what I'm saying.
He wasn't. He was governor of California, the largest state in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Run for president before he got the nomination, once before he had tried for it.
I dare say he's the first non-political celebrity, in that he's still a celebrity, but it's not because of his political activity that was elected to the presidency in this country.
Well, he...
Because there were political celebrities before. I mean, Kennedy, a perfect example. And going, hearkening back into war heroes that we elected here and there.
So, in other words, he's one of the, in terms of, like, art, I don't know, in terms of modern history.
Yeah. Absolutely modern history.
He's the first. No, I mean, because there's been others.
Who?
But, I don't know, George Washington. Thomas Jefferson.
They were generals. That was military. And I said,
Jefferson wasn't a general.
Jefferson was a writer of many of the big documents for this country.
Right.
He wrote the Declaration. That's it.
The politically active.
Yeah, but between him and, you know, come on, whatever, whatever.
What I'm trying to get at here.
Reagan was seen as a D.C. outsider.
I'll give you that.
But that's why a lot of governors get elected.
One of the things that bring in with him is that he was morally sound for the most part. He believed in certain things. He believed by his convictions, which is, you know, one of the reasons like Bernie Sanders was so popular.
That's why I liked Sanders. Was the exact reason why I later came to like Reagan.
He's not really a politician.
Sanders is a real politician, but Sanders has a firm moral grounding.
Yes.
You might not like his moral grounding,
but you can sure as shit respect
it.
I respect it. And we've all been quoted as if he was running, good chance we might have voted for him. All of us.
I definitely would have.
Just because he's an outsider in his beliefs.
There were only two people in the last election I had solidly committed my vote for, and one was Sanders if he got the nomination, and that came after I vowed to vote for Biden. If he got the nomination.
No.
I will put...
I know you love the humor of Biden.
I will put humor before country. And Biden...
did! The entire Biden, country did! We Biden, put humor before country! Everybody did!
No, we put reality TV before country, but that's a whole different
thing. Biden,
we're surfing across this touchy ground of politics we try not to do very much of.
Yeah, but it's
so. Okay,
let's move on to some fact stuff. I got a list of conspiracy theory stuff too, so some good.
Oh God.
In 1952, he married Nancy Davis. There is belief that she sought his help because she was a red sympathizer. At that time, meant a commie sympathizer.
Yeah.
And they were looking to destroy her politically or publicly, and she tried to jump on his bandwagon. They also had two kids, Patricia Ann and Ronald Prescott. They, as you probably know, lasted the rest of their lives together. That was his final marriage.
It was probably one of the greatest marriages in presidential history.
It was, holy cow. Did bugs. Initially, he is or was one of Hollywood's most democratic liberals at the beginning, until his second stint with the Screen Actors Guild, and this we touched on earlier. This is around 1959-60. A former friend, Melvin Douglas, blames his change on his years with the GE Theater, which I also mentioned earlier, but it was a very pro-business show, and Reagan was paid to... It could kind of deliver a very pro-business attitude during the show, and this Morgan guy, Melvin Douglas guy, was very democratic and is later
lambasted or tossed down a little bit by Reagan for his Democratic views, and they definitely did not get along in the later years. But he says that Reagan would have been fine as state of Democratic president if he wasn't influenced by GE. I don't know. I think it was maybe coming of age. Because, so, 59 to 60, and he was born in 11, so he was 29,
30-ish. The old adage is that you're a Democrat because you have a heart. When you're older...
You're a liberal because you have a heart, and when you're older, you're a conservative because you have a brain.
You're a Republican because you have a brain.
No, let's say liberal and conservative, but, yeah, that's the thing, yes. And that, I think that just seems like a natural time when people change their political views dramatically, is that 29 to 30
range. Winston Churchill.
What about Winston Churchill?
That's who said that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. I've been running around saying, I don't know who said it.
Google hammers it
Jesus
again.
Jesus fucking A. You're just on point with this today.
You are. Well, we knew this was going to be a good one. We knew this was going to be a good topic for you, and we're enthusiastic about next week, actually.
Yeah.
Really? A twofer?
Yeah, it actually kind of is going to be a continuation.
Okay, well,
just to give a little foreshadowing, but I think next week is kind of a continuation of this.
You might want to bring wet naps.
It's 3-for-1, usually.
No, next week I think it'll be good, too.
Like, but either way.
Bring your wet
Wizard
naps.
Of Oz,
we're
M&M's.
We're making you happy. We're making you happy for 2 weeks straight.
Usually goes Wizard of Oz, M&M's, beige, Reagan.
All right.
Those are the three subjects I have to
wade
through.
We didn't do M&M's, dude.
What?
We didn't do M&M's, and we got complimented
on
our
Wizard
of Oz.
Don't tell me it's not
on the list. But, all right, all right, so...
Actually, M&M's isn't... Mars might be on the list, but I don't think that M&M's itself...
Pickled eggs are on the list right now.
Don't eat in front of the mic again. We get complaints about that shit.
See, that's why I brought them. They're a non-crunchy food. Pickled eggs are awesome.
Wait a minute. Save one of the beet ones.
No beets. Like, two things totally. Bad. Dick.
I haven't tried it. What's my rule?
It's the greatest thing in the world.
Twice.
You're going to love it.
So is Agent Lou Wasserman.
Lou Wasserman.
Yeah.
He sounds like he works down in the newsroom.
So, with that lead-in, do you know how he got rich enough to become a professional politician? Because essentially, to be a professional politician, you have to be independently wealthy.
I don't know. I don't think that's true.
Bernie Sanders is not independently wealthy.
Neither was Obama. Neither was Nixon.
You're talking about people like John Kerry, okay?
Yeah.
They're a special kind of fucking crazy.
Let's throw a blanket out that many politicians are independently wealthy because they have the time to give to being
a
politician.
It helps. It's like you can do three things.
And anything else. Money helps you do things.
Can we just use that blanket, admit that there's lots of holes in the blanket, and move very through?
Independently wealthy, you can be an artist, a hippie, or a politician.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All kind of the same things.
Yeah.
So the way that it is said that he became an independently wealthy man and able to do all of this is his agent Lou Wasserman helped him purchase a very large piece of California land that had been used for film locations, and
then
he helped him sell it off.
Spawn Ranch?
No, Rancho Del Cielo.
So he actually made a good investment, and then...
Well, it was kind of underhanded. There's some in the conspiracy theory about this, but it was a really kind of under-the-table deal, and he got it for way too cheap, and then they turned it immediately, and it was the 80s real estate turn thing. It was what happened then. It wasn't even the 80s. Well, either way...
I'm surprised anybody
they
noticed
kept,
the amount of coke
they
that was
kept
being
200-plus acres of it. For Reagan's personal ranch that we all remember or may not remember, but you can find it from his presidency. He was always frequently at his ranch.
200 acres.
It became,
I would chop off your arm and his dick to get 5.
Hey, I use that occasionally.
Think of the lawn mowing.
Rancho de Cielo is what it was called, which translates to Ranch of the Heaven or Sky. And he hosted everyone from Gorbachev to Thatcher at that place.
He what?
Hosted everyone from Gorbachev to Thatcher.
Yeah, they all did.
Everybody went out to the ranch and rode horses with Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
in Northern California.
Because it was a good way to make somebody else look like a schmuck.
Right.
Well, kind of.
Picture Gorbachev on a horse.
Yeah.
Right? You know, come on. Because Reagan sat on a horse and it was like
the
Marvel Man, you know.
Yeah.
He was, you know.
Yeah, the only person that's more iconic on a horse is John Wayne.
Yeah.
You know?
Really, that is actually the only other person.
Lone Ranger.
But he was the masked man. We don't really know who he was.
You're right. We don't know who he was. He could have also been John Wayne.
Yeah.
We do know who played the Lone Ranger, but...
In which the television series?
But it's you know,
we know we have the internet, IMDb shit.
But it's a way to make somebody feel more malleable because they are. You know, it's like home court advantage kind of crap.
Well, it is. And it's
not only is it home court advantage, but it's my locker room. Okay? Yeah. Because you're not only are you in my country now, bitch.
Yeah.
You're at my house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of PR does that mean? When, you know, because the American public looks at it and says, hey, he allowed them into his own home.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It makes you look kind of tougher.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so not afraid of a situation here that you can come into my home.
I was kind of surprised that...
Well, and I'm going to cook for you.
I was surprised that Bush 2 didn't pull that same thing.
Right.
Bush 2 was always going back to the ranch. But he was always just going back there to get the fuck away from things.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck this shit. I'm cutting down some trees. You know? And he never seemed to...
Well, cutting down trees. There's a Reagan thing, just in case people didn't know. I didn't even look this one up or write it down because it's a well-known fact. Reagan exercised almost his entire life by chopping wood. He had wood delivered to the White House so that he could just straight up chop wood, split lumber.
Wow, he's Lincoln.
But he really, apparently, he really got some good thinking on. And I gotta say, I love that kind of thing because I love when I'm, for instance, down working at the ranch and we're just breaking up firewood. I really love the monotony and focus that it takes to do that.
Chopping wood is kind of like going to the rifle range.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's constant.
There is. I mean, I chopped wood all through high school.
Yes.
That's what I did every summer. That's how I made money.
And anybody who listens has heard this.
It's it's cathartic. It is just a... Here's my life. My little boom box and my axe. Sometimes it's awesome. A wedge and a maul, but...
At the ranch, we use a gas-powered pneumatics splitter. But
we did that too, but I actually had another person.
Okay, Annie.
My buddy died. Okay, so...
It's like
his presidency, onions. 1980, he won the 40th president against Carter with 489 electoral votes to Carter's 49. Much of this was his aggressive approach to conservatives and growing Afghanistan conflict and financial ideals. People were noted as to thinking Carter was boring also. That didn't help him at all. Oddly, he has a pretty decent reputation now. Carter does.
Well, Carter has... Wow.
It's not on Carter. We don't have to do Carter.
Carter is a man who can turn obliviousness into genius. I've never understood the draw of that man. He is the most oblivious person on the planet.
Very simple, and this is what people thought. He was just boring and kind of like bumped his way through life like Forrest Gump. And ironically, he has a really pretty good reputation now, to this day.
Now he's thought of as some sort of genius because, like, for instance...
He's like 86 years old and building houses or some
like
shit.
One of the parts of his ascendancy in recent years has been, like, his rejection of the Baptist church. And it's like, this is a man who was a fucking deacon in the church for most of his life. Like, 40 years he was a deacon in the Baptist church. And then... Like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, he comes out and he says, you know, I'm leaving the church because of the way it treats women. It treats women as secondary. And it's like, welcome to the party, pal. Like, Jesus Christ, you were a deacon in this thing and you didn't figure that out? How oblivious do you have to be? But now it's, oh, he's such a great man. He's so genius. And it's like, yeah, for pointing out the obvious? Really? I'll come over and hit you with a baseball bat and say, I bet that hurts. Am I a genius?
There's a lot to simple genius. So.
No. No, the only reason Carter got to the presidency is because Democrats up through Clinton could only gain the presidency by nominating a Southern governor. That was the only way they could ever win it. And that's the way they did it.
So,
I haven't tracked that much of it because this is obviously where our age difference is coming in play because... I didn't pay attention to politics for a long time. My grandmother was just a super hawk.
Oh, please. Carter, Clinton, so, LBJ.
Well, no, my grandmother was... There's two problems in the world today. Gays and Democrats. Okay. That's the way that she started out. Okay? Yeah. That's the way that she started out. Later in life, she changed. But I grew up thinking, you know, like, here's your little elephant pin. At 5 years old, here's your little elephant pin. I didn't pay attention to politics because of that. I didn't like having it shoved down my throat.
Well,
so from, you know,
people still do that today.
Yeah.
It's extremely common. In fact, I would dare say more houses than not push their adult politics on their children.
They do. They do. But here's the difference between the way people get raised is if you push your politics on somebody.
That's curious stuff. It's got a Belgian yeast in it. Just, you know.
Allow them to tell you no. And like my grandmother did that.
Okay.
And so, then ask questions and do things like that.
And actually, that's where I got away from my parents' politics. I was always kind of conservative, but I was like my mother was a screaming liberal, my dad was a moderate conservative, and
similar on my side.
When
not all the way, but similar.
When Carter came out, my mom was like gung ho for him, and like I was like, all right, you know, the economy's not his fault, blah, 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 it's not his fault, you know, endless excuses. And then Desert One happened with trying to rescue the Iranian hostages and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was like, it looked like Carter's incompetence was going to get us in a war with Afghanistan, and Carter starts up selective service for the draft. And I was like, holy fuck, you know, because I was 17 at that point when he started up selective service, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, okay, fuck this shit. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? Really? Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Even if you win, what do you win?
Right. Oil rights.
You know?
Oil rights.
They don't have any oil. There's no oil.
It's oil
they
rights.
They have rock.
It's oil rights.
They have no oil.
You sort of get positioning that you have to pay for the next 50 years.
You have a strategic location of a gravel pit.
Exactly.
That's all you have.
But that's it. That you have to pay for to maintain.
Yeah. It's a very military move.
Yeah.
So
it's risk. It's that risk board game. But the problem is that you have to pay for it the entire
time. It's totally the risk board game.
Yeah.
Good call. Fucking ain't right. So, all right. So only 69 days after being sworn in as president, Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr., the nutcase that thought that being a taxi driver-like character would impress Jodie Foster. Look at us.
Launched a great line of why did he think it would impress Jodie Foster, Tyler? What's the historical narrative on that?
He was super hooked on Taxi Driver and the theater.
The Robert De Niro movie.
Yes.
Not the TV series.
And and the theme of the movie is that De Niro's character is going over the edge and has decided that his claim to fame is going to be shooting a president.
Well, a senatorial candidate.
But so Hinckley Jr. kind of chases all this. Well, okay, another thing, De Niro's character befriends a prostitute, a very young prostitute, played by Jodie Foster, then 16 or 17 years old, if I remember correctly.
Well, she's supposed to be underage.
Yeah.
And she's being pimped out by Harvey Keitel.
Right.
So De Niro decides to try and assassinate senatorial candidate Palmer in the movie.
Right.
At Columbus Circle.
And so that was Hinckley developed a huge obsession with Jodie Foster.
You watch this film in your underwear
that was
with the lights off, don't
that
you?
That was a document dump.
He watches this with the lights on. He likes to see everything. So anyway.
You know when he does that in the porno theater, he's doing that.
So it is said that Hinckley fired 6 shots in 1.7 seconds, and there is the video is out there. I watched it, and I believe it is 1.7 seconds. Probably it's really fast that he pulls off 6 rounds out of this gun.
So it's a military grade weapon assault thing.
No,
which
actually,
spray bullets
it's
indiscriminate.
It's a cast metal frame, as we said earlier, $125.
This is one of those
guns by a company that made mainly.
Sounds like an assault weapon to me, man.
It sounds like this is somebody that's really scared pulling the trigger as fast as he can.
Yeah. He pulls a trigger. That was the first time he'd ever heard the boom, and he was like, holy shit, and just kept shooting. Yeah.
So, just for comparison, I also looked up Carasano 98138, which is what Oswald used, and that was $500 to $900.
Oh, my God.
What?
$500 to $900 for a Carasano.
What are you talking about?
The gun that Lee Harvey Oswald used to shoot Kennedy.
Yeah, no, he did not have a $500 to $600 gun.
It is a $500 to $600 gun. Then it was like a $49 special in a bill at the fucking hardware store.
Yeah. Well, through mail order.
So comparatively,
that's why we don't have mail order guns.
22-row RG-14 revolver that was used to shoot Reagan.
Dick,
thank
him for that.
Yeah, was like a $20 gun then.
Wait, it was a revolver?
Yeah.
He shot 6 shots in 1.6 seconds out of a revolver?
Really crappy made revolver. Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently, if you buy one now, most of them are fire-worthy.
Wow.
You can't.
You're scared
them.
As fuck. You're pulling that trigger.
I don't know. It could be a lot of latte.
But it's totally like you said earlier. It's a Saturday night special.
In his eyes, he probably knew he was dying because, I mean, he's taking on the Secret Service and trying to shoot the president.
Right.
So get as many fucking bullets out and that whole, I'm scared, I just pulled the trigger, I'm way committed now.
Well, he was a gun guy. He had a collection. Taken from him prior to this, some of them, and he replaced them. This is one of the guns that he bought when he was replacing some of his older guns.
Was that thing single or double action?
It was double. Okay. Well, it was single double, I believe.
Okay.
I'm not positive. I didn't look into that too far.
Most of their double action can be both.
Yeah, it was a fascinating little gun.
Back in that time.
Well, yeah, sometimes you have to pull the hammer back first. Yeah, and that's your single. And then after that it's double.
Then you're going double after that.
There's lots of single doubles. Anyway.
I don't think so. Not on a revolver. I think you're thinking
about
a semi-auto.
So the sequence of the shots was Brady was first shot to the head/neck, so back of his lower neck. Then Thomas Delhanty, a police officer, in the back of the neck also.
All right.
Third shot hit the window across the street.
Yeah. We got to move it along. We're at 45 minutes.
Fourth shot. No, we're fine. We got time.
All right.
We knew this was going to be a good one.
Okay.
Fourth shot, bounced off the bulletproof glass. No, I didn't write down where the fourth shot went. Fuck. Well, okay, fifth shot hit the bulletproof glass of Reagan's limo, and the sixth shot, the last shot, bounced off the bulletproof metal of the limo and struck Reagan in the chest, breaking a rib and coming near his heart, as well as causing tons of bleeding because you're shot in the chest. Some say that it was half of his body's blood, like whatever the capacity of blood you carry is, half of it came out. The funny thing here is that this actually only served to make Reagan more popular and Jodie Foster to farther.
It furthered their careers.
Yeah, it did. Made them both better, and it got her farther away from Hinckley.
And we got a skateboard company out of it.
Wasn't there a reference to Patrick?
Jodie Foster's Army. The skateboard company.
JFA all the way.
Yeah.
Wasn't this one that also had the Catcher in the Rye reference to it?
Yes. He was carrying a copy of Catcher in the Rye when he did it.
But so was Oswald, if I remember correctly.
No. No, he wasn't.
No.
A lot of people confuse the Reagan-Hinckley killer with... What? Now I'm all confused. No, I think it was the Kennedy. Reagan killer, not the Lennon shooter.
The Lennon shooter had a book with him, too.
We might be off, folks. I think it's the Reagan killer that had Catcher in the Rye on him.
I didn't find it, so I don't...
I don't know. Maybe it was a Lennon killer. I don't know. I'm almost.
I think it was a Lennon killer.
Yeah, I think it was a Lennon because
we fucking did the Beatles. So we should know this.
I know. I feel so ignorant.
Oh, I'm stupid.
Okay, keep going.
I just do research for this week. Doesn't mean I remember last week.
But this is a learning experience
for us.
Mark David Chapman had it.
Oh, Mark David Chapman. Mm-hmm. So that is the Lennon killer.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Otherwise it gets confusing because Hinckley's after.
He had a copy. He had a VHS copy. Oh no, he had a Betamax copy of Taxi Driver in his back pocket. Right.
Yeah. Right. Maybe a little 5x7 photo.
It's a solid ruin here in fact right there, buddy.
Yeah, 45 of Bananarama singing Robert De Niro's Waiting.
So Brady is being shot is the reason we had the Brady Bill, which only lasted for a handful of years. Mm-hmm. Was now defunct, but...
No, not exactly. Okay. Not exactly. The Brady Bill came in shortly... Not actually shortly after. The Brady Bill came in...
Like 8 years later.
No. The Brady Bill came in like 93 or something.
94 to 98.
Right. So the Brady Bill came in, but the Brady Bill was not going to pass without a few key votes. And they could not get those key votes without the NRA signing off on the Brady Bill.
Enacted November 30th, 1993.
Yeah.
So it ran from 94 to 98.
But the thing in the Brady Bill was the Brady Bill had within it its own sunset clause. And it this did. Was insisted upon by the NRA, and what they got was the NRA would go along with the Brady Bill and was down with it. However, it had to sunset the 7-day waiting period specifically.
It was a 5-day.
It wound up being
so the Brady Bill was
a 5-day wait on handgun purchases, which really was 7 days because
it was
five.
A mandatory 5-day wait.
Yeah,
on any gun in states that had no instilled licensing system.
Right, and so what the NRA insisted upon was we have paid through ammo and gun taxes over and over for a national background check system. And we've paid for this 2 or 3 times with 2 or 3 bills to have a national instant background check system. So the Brady Bill within it said the national instant check system has to be made real within 2 years or 3 years or whatever. And as soon as it was made real, the waiting period would expire. It would be done with because we'd have an instant check system. And that's what happened. So in a sense, the Brady Bill carries over, yes. But the wait period is gone.
So because, that's what Brady gave us.
Because the wait period was like a little bit stupid.
He lived out his entire life almost completely paralyzed. And when he died in 2014, mm-hmm. His death was considered a murder, but they couldn't retry Hinckley because Hinckley had already been tried for those cases because double indemnity. So,
Brady walked, and is still out.
When
Reagan got shot?
No, when he died.
When Reagan died?
Yeah.
I haven't done Reagan died yet. I remember
was in the Radio Shack on Comm Ave when he got shot. They had a whole bunch of TVs there so I could watch it. It was kind of cool.
I don't know where I was when he died. It was 2004.
Oh, you were in your mother's womb.
I still remember it, too. For what it's worth.
Okay.
I stopped into the bar and that I worked at the time. On a day shift because I had to run errands. I'm like, okay, fuck this. I'm not dealing with Portland traffic on the max without having a couple of shots. So I had my shots and I jumped back on the max and then I looked down at my phone and.
Wow, you didn't have a Ballantine?
Ballantine.
Oh, that was a huge thing because I remember like when Reagan.
June 5th?
No, when Reagan got elected.
It was June 5th.
All right, whatever.
Ballantines?
Whatever.
Anyway. All right, so here's some of the fun stuff, and this is where some of the conspiracy stuff comes in. In his early career, when he was a sportscaster, during a Cubs/Cardinals game in 1934, he was calling a game, and his feed went black. He faked a handful of foul balls, just like continued sportscasting, and said, oh, foul ball, and fooled the radio audience that was listening. But the live game, what happened was it was a pop fly out on the first pitch. Which I thought, way to fool the world, right? It's War of the Worlds all over again. Come on.
This seems like really
shit
here. It's like, who cares?
In 1950, when he was on the Democratic team of Melvin Douglas, who brought up earlier, who was then ruined by his competitor Nixon and his team, there was a lady on the team that started calling Nixon Tricky Dick, and that's where that nickname came from. There's also a rumor that he was reported to be a spy while working as the Actors Guild president and revealing supposed communists. pretty clandestine activity right there, right? You fly overseas. Many conspire, and rightly so, that much of his success came from the support of his agent, Lou Wasserman, which we spoke about earlier in the kind of shady real estate deal. He also then helped Reagan with the bid for California governor. And there was a book about this called Dark Victory, Ronald Reagan, MCA, and the Mob, which is a rather long title, but that's what it's called, as well as federal investigation that eventually cleared Reagan of the allegations that he accepted payoffs from the MCA and Wasserman.
MCA, the record label?
Yep. Also movies.
What, do you want to get a lot of Elton John tunes played?
I don't know. It was a thing.
If Reagan's governor, we can get Benny of the Jets on all day long.
Okay, so
what the hell is that? That's like the worst conspiracy ever.
Is the MCA was the only company allowed?
It's not a band.
To,
it's a record label.
Right,
MCA,
only
not
company,
the MCA.
Only
just the MCA.
Only company allowed to own both a talent agency and a production company. Meaning they could put their own actors in. And it was through a clause that Reagan as governor, or as Actors Guild president guy, put in play. So
the corruption.
Like they had, yeah, it was.
The corruption. Like that's the downfall of society. Right? Like that's how Rome fell.
Super clandestine.
That's exactly how
fucking little boys.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Nero fiddled while MCA had a contract. That's how it went down.
This is Teamsters all over again.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, it was. It was very much like that. And so rightfully so, that there's a little conspiracy there because they just rigged it so these people could put their own people in movies and pay them shit and make tons of money and it, you know.
Wow, because yeah, actors get paid so little.
So,
yeah, I know.
I'm always on the lookout for underpaid actors. That's
well, a buddy of mine that used to work for me at one of the clubs, he did some work for the SAG. SAG wages are $1,000 a day.
Yeah, and that's for the guy mopping floors. It goes up from there.
Yes. He didn't have a starring role. He was on
set. Security detail or something?
No, he was acting. Part of a television series up in Portland.
Okay.
He did that for
Is
seven
it that
days.
Vampire one?
I'm not going to get too far because I don't know how much trouble I
get. We don't want to get too far with this.
Yeah. But $7,000, 7 days work. Boom. There you go.
Yeah, but your SAG dues.
You have to do a certain number of SAG. You have to be a member of SAG, and then you have to do a certain number of SAG shows. Otherwise, then your dues are, but they're reduced by the amount that you're working. So, think Tom Cruise. His SAG dues are
fucking
huge.
Funny, I was totally just thinking Tom Cruise. Okay.
His SAG dues are huge because...
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because he's making $1 billion, right?
Him, on the other hand, if you work X amount of hours on a show or do something, you automatically fall under SAG rules. SAG is... They are fucking rotten to the core.
It's a crazy...
It's the mafia.
Yeah, it is.
It's exactly it.
Is.
And you don't have to be a member of SAG to be enforced by SAG rules.
And we are not the only people. Like I said, I've listened to lots of podcasts. There's lots of Hollywood people that say it's roughly the same thing. Like, it's just... crazed.
A cesspool.
But anyway, this was just a fun story. Famous story. When he was young, he was a lifeguard. And one day, an older man jumped into the pool and lost his dentures and couldn't jump in again. So Reagan was elected as the best swimmer to jump in and get the dentures. And so he did. And I just thought that was a funny story. It has absolutely nothing to do with the plot. Oh, come on, I'm nowhere near.
We're not even in the 50s.
The HUD rigging, the savings and loan crash, Hinckley and the Bush family. Let's do that one. Hinckley and the Bush family. This theory states that the Bush family may have been involved with Hinckley's attempt on Reagan's life, being that Hinckley family and Bush family had been running the same social circles. They were both prominent money families in the same area, and they hung out together. It's further done because the Hinckley family contributed to George Bush 1 early bids for Texas governor, and that George's son Neil.
Jesus Christ!
I spell checked and it didn't correct Nell. You're right.
Silverado Savings and Loan
was supposed to have dinner with Hinckley, or with Hinckley's brother, the day of the shooting. There are a lot of coincidences brought up by the author of Family Secrets, Russ Baker. This is not included in the book, sadly, just an article that he wrote for whowhatwhy.org. But either way, the Hinckley family and the Reagan family were closely connected, or Bush family rather, and what it postulates is that the Bush family may have helped Hinckley go a little sideways and focus on George Bush to kill him, focus on Reagan to kill him to get Bush into office. And I think it's kind of a far reach.
It's a real stretch.
But it's an interesting connection.
It's
an interesting connection.
Not really.
I told you I went on Reddit, too.
You know, irritatingly enough, well, I don't know if it's irritating. It's this is, in my modern history... since I've been able to vote and pay attention to politics, this is the only instance of a Republican and a Republican being elected, going from Reagan to Bush.
Yes.
Otherwise, since I was allowed to vote,
it's always been one, the other, one, the other, one, the other.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know what that looks like in, you know, before I was.
No, that's earth, but that's
Well, we've had Democrat after Democrat.
No, we haven't. No, that's
Obama two terms, Clinton two terms.
No, Reagan did the same thing. What we're talking about is different political parties after their max terms.
Right.
Okay. After max terms.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
After max terms. During election. The vice president getting elected is extremely unusual.
I mean, Bush Senior was ousted after 4 years, which is, I mean, any more they're letting people run eight. Trump, they're not going to let run eight.
No.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
You believe that, really?
No, they're not going to let him run eight.
He says no.
Hell no.
I say no. I say no.
I don't know.
I think America's going to have their fill at 4 years.
Yeah.
Not before. I wouldn't bet on it.
Dude, they're already sick of Twitter.
I wouldn't bet on it.
They're already sick
of Twitter. I'm not advocating. I'm just saying, historically, I wouldn't bet on it.
No.
Historically, it does say two terms, but I don't think that America is going to allow that to happen.
Let's face it, we had Bush 2, who got us into a war.
Twice.
And when the election came up.
Or once, depending on your.
It was known. Forget it.
Well, here's kind of the thing with Bush 2.
No, there's like no point. There's no point.
Everybody made fun of him with his monkey ears and shit. Yeah, make fun of him all you want. But he never actually proved he was an idiot by speaking.
Yes,
this guy, you never know what you're going to wake up to it, you know, because at 4 o'clock in the morning,
Bush was an idiot. He couldn't say nuclear.
He was an idiot. We know.
Neither could Carter, who served on a nuclear submarine. The fucking guy served on a submarine and couldn't pronounce the word. Fucking idiot. Neither could Clinton. He said nuclear.
But we don't have either. We didn't have either of those guys waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and texting
and putting out 140 or less characters of horseshit. Right.
Yeah.
But
every day, everybody in America wakes up and is like. They look at their Facebook.
What happened last night?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're subjected to it.
Which is why, ladies and gentlemen, you should follow our Twitter feed, because you never know what I was up to last night.
Yeah, that's exactly
I would not bet on it, because I will remind you.
Do you want to do a gentleman's bet?
I will make this. No. I will make the attempt for a second time to remind you that Bush 2 was elected after getting us into a war under false pretenses.
Yeah.
He was reelected.
Yeah.
America does some amazing things.
Against a pretty good, but not that great. Medium Democrat candidate.
Yeah.
But Kerry was medium. Mondale? Come on. Kerry's better than Mondale, right? You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kerry wasn't the worst.
But here's the thing.
He was medium.
In this instance, there was somebody else that was the enemy. In this instance, that moron, that Cheeto fucking headed moron.
Don't make me edit, yo.
Wait, who was the enemy back then? All right, we're getting off.
We're way off base.
When Bush was reelected,
it's okay though.
He declared war on somebody else, so he gave the American public a target that wasn't him. In this instance, the target is Trump.
All right, I'm just saying, don't bet on it.
So maybe we should bring
it
back
to Reagan. Don't bet the farm.
I'm sorry.
Maybe we should bring it back to Reagan and wrap this up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring it home, bro.
We can't
be wrapping this up. You got us.
Bring it home.
You didn't dally forever in the 40s.
You
want
some?
We're going to do some 80s stuff.
Iran-Contra deals?
What?
As stated above, one of the biggest blights on Reagan's time in office, he admitted to giving arms to the Iran side while funding the right-wing counter-revolutionaries on the other side. He admitted it. A general fight against socialism. In this, there was a very questionable pardon for the Secretary of Defense, Caspar Weinberger, a pardon for Elliot Abrams, convicted of misdemeanor charges because of a plea deal, Robert C. McFarlane, also convicted of misdemeanors due to a plea, Alan D. Fiers, also misdemeanor charges and a full pardon. All of these people were vice-presidentially pardoned for pleading to lesser charges of arms dealing. Like, seriously? They're all felony charges of arms dealing to rebels that these people that were pardoned by Bush. And just to protect the reputation of Reagan. That's not even a fucking conspiracy theory. Those are all fucking facts. There were more names. I didn't write all of them down. You want some heated shit? Here you go. A little hot about this one.
Why?
It's bullshit.
Why? You
give, sell guns to one part, give money to the other part to buy guns with, and then have your fucking butt buddy pardon everybody.
I don't think you're looking
good
at it in context. You're really not looking at it in
what
context.
What possible context can make giving arms to one side and supporting the other side monetarily?
Do you want
to
stabilize one region? Right. Destabilize another.
Well, let me put
not
this.
A good
let me
you're
put
playing risk.
Still. It's good.
You're still playing risk.
You know, let me put this in perspective for you. Let's be honest here. Obama did the exact same thing, only just straight up did it.
Yeah.
He just straight up did it. He was just like, I'm doing this shit, fuck you. And nobody raised a peep. You know, because Obama, everything he did was golden. You know, with Reagan, they're looking for misdemeanor bullshit. And so the thing of it is like...
No, there were true, straight up felony arms charges that got broken down to misdemeanor.
They're bullshit,
I mean,
because
they
didn't have
bullshit.
The American people behind them.
Did they get pardoned? Full pardoned?
Yes.
They did not have the American people behind that, the prosecution of those cases.
He also full pardoned.
Nobody was into it.
Waylon Jennings?
Nobody was into it.
I think it was Waylon.
Okay.
Did he full pardon, which I'll give him props for that.
At the time, what Iran-Contra was about was exactly what Obama did out in the open. Reagan was like, look, we've got these moderates in Iran, we'll sell them arms, and they'll take over the country. And that's what Obama did with the arms deal, is we've got these moderates in Iran, we'll send them a brick of money. And we all saw the brick of money. We all saw the brick of money, right? And so Obama did the exact same thing. And, like, to some extent, I think maybe, very qualified maybe, that was
Obama
the right
didn't
move.
Support the other side at the same time. When
no,
you're giving
no
guns to one side and money to the
no,
other side, you're actually
no,
building
a no,
war.
No. The guns didn't...
You're
Reagan,
building a war. You're funding both sides
no.
of the fight.
Go ahead.
Reagan, through North, did this. He sent through North...
Ollie North, by the way, or Oliver.
Yeah. Some sort of munitions to supposedly moderate forces in Iran. Not the crazy mullahs. The idea was overthrow the Iranian government. At the same time...
Yeah, this is Khomeini.
Right. The same time, the money from those things, because those guys over there were paying for them, the money of those things came back, and now it's in this black fund, right? The reason for doing this was entirely because of Congress, because of something known as the Bolin Amendment. And the Bolin Amendment precluded any funding for the Contras, or really anything, to fight Soviet influence in South America and Latin America. So they needed a black bag of money, and they got that by selling arms to the moderates in Iran, taking the money, and giving it to the Contras. Now, you might say that's a bad thing, but that wasn't any stupid, crazy, evilness thing. Like, to
that's
me...
funding a war. You're funding both sides through arms and money.
What's the matter with that? We do that all the time.
What's the matter with that?
What are you talking about?
I don't know if you know this about war, but people die unnecessarily in wars.
Tyler, this is
we fund wars all the time.
Because what it is here is what I went back to. What do you do when you want to stabilize one thing?
So the Lend-Lease program was not right? We should have... I mean, so what are you talking about? Like, we should never get involved in any war with Switzerland? Is that the idea? We fund wars all the time because we think these people are good and these people are bad. What's the matter with that? I don't have a problem with that.
Again, he started this whole conversation with this as a caveat that I don't agree with it.
I have a big problem with all this. But
well,
either way,
you did. You started this whole.
I'm not saying I agree with
exactly.
It.
Exactly. No, that and I'm saying that.
I'm not saying
that's
I agree with it. It's like
yeah,
what Reagan
kind of
should
what
have done is like gone to Congress and been like, this Bolin Amendment is bullshit.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. The Sandinista crap is bullshit. And you guys over here in Congress saying the Sandinistas are some great bunch of guys, you're assholes. And he should have done the tear down the wall speech to them as well as to Gorbachev. Because, like, the idiots in Congress saying, let's have a communist state in South America is like, well, look at how the hell that goes.
Right.
Look at how the fuck that goes. I mean, we already had Cuba. We're sitting there looking at El Salvador. Well, now we've got Venezuela. I mean, it doesn't work out well. It doesn't. And we got to face it.
True.
You know?
Okay.
Is it near? Is he turning red?
It's hot in here.
Yeah, okay.
It's hot and smoky.
No, I'm sick of this because it's like the Iran-Contra thing. The thing that people don't understand is like there was not a lot of gung-ho, this is corrupt, blah, 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 in America at the time those hearings came down. And then the Democrats went a bridge too far, and they were like, let's grant immunity to people, where they didn't know what they were going to say, i.e. Ollie North. Ollie North gets up and looks like fucking the Eagle Scout.
Yeah. No. He looks like Ringo.
No.
He was forced to look like a moron.
No, Ollie North came up.
Fucking Ringo.
By the time Ollie North's testimony was done, the country wanted to lynch Democrats in Congress. The country was not on Congress's side going after this bullshit. And that's why you came down to, like, bullshit charges and bullshit stuff. Because, like, they had to get ahead, so they got these, like, bullshit misdemeanor things, and then Reagan had to pardon them, and it's like, fine, you're done with your bullshit. Because the will wasn't there. The will wasn't there.
In our lifetime, there have been two trials that have always been followed. One was Ollie North. The other was O.J.
Yeah.
What is that fucking telling you?
Yeah.
Well, and then there's a bunch of others, but yeah.
But not to this caliber.
But it's like,
imagine the propaganda behind this. Not to this caliber.
Benet.
No, but I mean, no. Like, Benet and you say John Benet. That's one thing.
Like,
you say Oliver North.
Get real.
You say OJ. These are the two things that we know within our lives.
They're both very Hollywood.
Get real,
John Benet.
You know, we want. Like, Carter fucked the Iranian situation because the Iranian mullahs were not anti-U.S. before Carter. They weren't. They came in and they were like, hey, we're in. This guy, you know, Khomeini comes back from exile. Where? Oh, gee, I don't know. Huh. France. France.
Everybody fucking goes to France. Agreed.
France. I think we should
anybody that eats French fries with mayonnaise should be shot.
Maybe we should wrap up.
Do not eat your French fries with mayonnaise.
Okay. They're freedom fries.
Special issues, NORAD priority 1, retarget all missiles from North Korea to France! If we could get rid of that country, is actually just saying.
They hold the lock on us because they have champagne. They have real champagne. Yeah, that's
and
the only reason that they have.
Cheese and bread making secrets.
You know what? Their maggot cheese can go rotten hell. You've had the maggot cheese.
I've had French cheese. It's no big.
Have you had the maggot cheese?
Cheese is good.
They consider that a delicacy. Okay, why anybody would want to eat maggot cheese? Fuck you. Die.
All right. So
it's like the French went to China and didn't quite master the cooking of vermin.
Jesus Christ.
No, you know who mastered cheese? The Australians. There's a shit called halloumi.
No, please.
It's deep fried cheese and crisp, and it's fucking
awesome. Okay, fuck this. Right, I'll start the wrap up if that's
fine. I'll go. As I said earlier,
I cannot believe we spent that much time in the 40s and 50s. We have nothing on the 80s except the Iran-Contra.
I tried to stay non-political in my research. That's how. You're welcome.
Because you
so anyway.
All right, I'm going
to pop it.
Because
I'm going to give you full reign to just lose it on the mic at the end.
I am.
We're going to have some Rupert, you're wrong moments, I think.
I am. No, we won't.
Yeah, we will. You're always wrong.
No, we won't.
So, Reagan was, as John and I have stated, the very beginning of my political understanding. I didn't understand politics at that point in time, hence I didn't understand the Reagan thing. I learned a lot this week. I have a hard time seeing him as the dangerous bad guy a lot of people call him out to be, but I also have a hard time seeing the absolutely fantastic side that other people call him out to be. I can pull together and see some blending of the two. And I think that he really changed the face of American politics by being, as John mentioned earlier, the non-political figure, as it were. I mean, I know he was governor and SAG and all that shit, but he was an outsider to D.C. and which I think is Rupert's callback, actually. I do have a little respect for the guy. Not to mention, he was funny when he got fucking shot, so that's cool.
Okay, the way that I kind of looked at Reagan all the way through my life was he was a dude that was an actor that he kind of stumbled in office, and then Def Leppard hit, and Def Leppard had a song that had a quote at the beginning of it.
Ange binge bonga bonga?
Uten glitten glatten globen.
He counted. He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong. We Americans are slow to anger. We always seek peaceful avenues before restoring.
Did you write this, or you're reading
resorting to the use of
force? No, this is Reagan.
And we did. We tried quiet diplomacy, public condemnation, economic sanctions, and demonstrations of military force. None succeeded. Despite our repeated warnings, Gaddafi continued his reckless policy of intimidation, his relentless pursuit of terror. He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong. I warned that there would be no place on Earth where terrorists could rest and train and practice their deadly skills. I meant it. I said that we would act with others, if possible, and alone if necessary, to ensure that terrorists have no sanctuary anywhere. Tonight we have. So, that, to me, was a difference and a shift between a guy that I always thought that was just kind of a joke that I heard about.
He was very much portrayed as a caricature to you and I.
It was a shift to, there is a guy that's willing to stand up, and this was the first time I'd ever heard a politician actually say, fuck you, to somebody else. And there was no, this was an unequivocal fuck you. There's no way to describe how that is any different than fuck you. They don't do that now. Now everybody's so concerned about being nice and getting along and doing this, that, and the other.
Genteel.
Exactly. So, to have this little thing in my head that was shattered, where he went from being the guy on the horseback to he's a politician, but not only is he a politician, but he's a man of conviction. And he's going to say it, not only in front of us, but in front of the whole fucking world.
He stood this on is his my laurels. Stance. Yeah. He totally stood on his laurels, no matter what.
This is where I am. If you don't like it, come get some, bitch. I respect the hell out of that. I
don't know enough about anything else to make anything more than that, but I totally agree with what
I think
you just
we need
said.
I think we need an injection of some of his morals and some of his standards in today's society. I'm just going to say that and be done with it.
Rupert?
Okay, so that speech that John just read was given on the night of the raids on Libya after Reagan and various others had found conclusive proof that the Libyans had trained and provided training facilities and blah, blah, blah for the attacks on a Berlin disco that was quite savage.
It was a big deal.
And involved a number of U.S. personnel being killed.
Pretty
and,
big deal.
There have been a lot of little pop-offs like this here and there for a long time, and we hadn't done anything. And Reagan sent bombers over into Libya from England. And they had to fly there. And when you're flying over to do that kind of raid, you have a pretty big, you know, people notice what's up.
It's an entourage.
A bunch of bombers take off with some fighter jets and all that kind of crap. And it's a big deal. And people know things are up. And you don't want the intelligence to get out that, hey, I don't know, I see a bunch of bombers over here. And so they launched them from England. And you want your flight path as short as possible so that there's less warning before they get there and you actually do some damage to the thing. They had to fly a much longer route than usual because they were denied airspace by one country. Two guesses as to which that one country was.
France! Freedom fries, bitch!
And eventually they got there and whacked Gaddafi, and it was kind of interesting because Gaddafi did become a little bit more quiescent as a result of that, and did a lot less terror sponsoring, and it moved to Afghanistan and whatever. I don't really know how much you have to provide. A bunch of guys running through the field, climbing on a rope and shit. But I think that a lot of people miss how pivotal Reagan was with his Mr. Gorbachev's tear down that wall. Because I lived in Manhattan at the time, and when Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," it was exactly like the current situation. It was like, oh my God, he's crazy, he's going to get us into a war. And that is when I fully was like, I have nothing to do with the left wing. I have absolutely no correspondence with them. Because, like, it was so ridiculous. It was quite clear that how anybody could look at the Berlin Wall and not say, this is a moral wrong, this is hideous, tear it down, is beyond me. And the fact that Reagan just said it was such a big offense to the liberals in Manhattan really told me exactly where they stood. And I never listened to them since about the man. Because it all revolved around this whole thing, which I've seen every single election of my life. Other than Nixon, every goddamn Republican that's ever been elected has been like, oh my God, he's so stupid. He's so stupid. You know what? I'm worried about his stupidness getting us into a war. That's how stupid I think he is. He's that stupid. And it's like, oh my God. No, enough already. Enough.
That's why they call you the gay one.
Yeah. Enough. It's like ridiculous. Every single Republican, you know, in my lifetime, other than Nixon, has been just like the stupid guy, blah, blah, blah. And it's just getting so tedious because half the time they say something that seems to be so incredibly right, like tear down this wall, or the Soviet Union is an evil empire, or a billion other things like that. And it's like they're so common sense, and they sway the people because they're true, and everybody knows it, and it's like everybody's like tiptoeing around. They can't say it. Like, what the hell was so bad about saying tear down this wall?
It was actually a very beautiful statement, and it came out long before he actually said it, right?
No.
Yes, it did.
No, believe me, like him saying that was huge.
When did Pink Floyd release The Wall? You know this. Like, you got a Rolodex card up in that Google Foo of yours.
When did Pink Floyd release The Wall? I don't know, like,
yeah, when?
80, 81? That doesn't really have anything to do with it, though. The idea of calling the Soviet Union evil was anathema to United States liberals. And that was fucking wrong. That was wrong. And they were always like, I mean, because I remember I would talk to people and be like, the Soviet Union is a pretty fucking evil country. And they were like, what the fuck is that? They were like,
1941. What they shared in common. The Soviet Union. Got a documentary out for us. It's just supposed to be The Wall.
Right.
I don't know. The Soviet Union was an evil ass or government. And, like, I used to get into this argument constantly with liberals in New York, and I could never understand it. They were like, well, how do you know it's evil? And I was like, because I know. And they're like, well, why?
No.
And I was like, look, here's my definition of evil. Any country where you try and leave and they shoot you, that's evil. That's evil. If you've got people trying to leave and you shoot them if they try and leave, that's an evil country.
That is truly evil.
And it's like, get over it.
I will give you that.
Get over it.
And if you have to leave on a fucking raft built out of, you know, inner tubes and cardboard or whatever, that's not particularly good either. That's particularly evil.
It's just evil. It's and just it's like not you've okay. got all these people, like, running around saying, like, oh, no, they weren't that bad. And it's like, yes, they were. They shoot you when you try and leave. That's evil. That's a prison. That's actually the definition of a prison, a place they try and shoot you if you leave.
Yeah.
That is the definition of a prison.
I would agree.
You know, so fuck you with your Castro's okay. He's not. He tries to kill
Castro's
you.
Castro's not okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He tries to... Oh, North Korea's not that bad. We got to understand.
No, North Korea is insane.
No, North Korea is really bad. These are the same people who are, like, apologists for
slavery. All right. How about we just tear down the wall?